VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is a nation about to celebrate another birthday. Truly a miracle from God in that she even exists today. I mean, the enemies of this nation are many. But God promised Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God promised to bless those nations that blessed Israel, to curse those nations that cursed Israel. And certainly we saw God's promise to Abraham, carried on to Isaac, and then to Jacob. We have regularly covered Israel from a prophetic perspective and what the Scriptures teach us to Israel's past, present, and future. Today, though, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking a look at what's happening in the nation politically and militarily as well. Joining us, we'd like to welcome back David Rubin. David is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and is author of the brand new book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. He is also the founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, established after he and his then three-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. His websites are davidrubinisrael.com and shilohisraelchildren.org. David, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good to be back with you.
David, let's begin with perhaps one of the most current issues over the weekend. We've got a lot we're going to unpack here during this hour, but yesterday, Sunday, Iran experienced what was described as a blackout at its government or its underground atomic facility. Iran has characterized this as nuclear terrorism, is blaming Israel, vowing revenge on Israel. What information can you provide on what's taken place?
Well, first of all, there was an attack, and some are saying that it's in response to the Iranian attack on the Israeli ship a few weeks ago, but we could view it in a lot of ways, but the fact is that it was a very significant attack. It was on the Natanz nuclear facility. Now, for those who know a little bit about the Iran nuclear deal that the United States used to be signed on to and that President Trump pulled the United States out of, according to that deal, Iran does not have to provide information on all of its nuclear nuclear research and development plans, but there are some limitations, and one of the limitations is that the only nuclear facility where they are allowed to enrich uranium is the Natanz nuclear facility. That is the one that was attacked, and word has gotten out that it is supposedly Israel that launched that attack, and this is something that should not come as a big surprise, but it is. It was an attack that will supposedly set back Iran's nuclear enrichment program for about 9 months.
Okay, and I saw, you know, there's various reports coming out right now. Yeah, the New York Times indicated this attack has caused damage to the centrifuges, will likely set Iran's nuclear program back several months, calling it a deliberately planned explosion. But we have Iran now seeming to downplay this, saying, hey, we're going to have this up in just a few days. It's just a few days delay here. Is there true knowledge as to what the real extent of this damage is?
Well, I had heard 9 months.
Okay.
It's understandable that they're going to have a face-saving measure.
Yeah.
Where they're going to say, well, it wasn't so bad. Once it became clear that it was an attack rather than just a mistake or an accident. But the fact is that Israel does have the ability to reach well inside Iran to launch such attacks if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Has Israel claimed responsibility for this?
No, we don't officially claim responsibility for such attacks. But look, there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Trump administration, Israel was able to launch various kinds of attacks on the Iranian interests in Syria, which are really Israeli interests, because if Iran is in Syria, then Israel's got a real problem. So there have been a lot of attacks over the past few years, and Trump pretty much looked the other way. And so now we have an attack on an Iranian nuclear reactor, on a nuclear facility, I should say, not yet a reactor. But it's very significant that it was inside Iran on a nuclear facility.
Yeah, yeah.
Israel has done other things. You know, there have been cyber attacks. There's been cyber warfare. And then, of course, we have when the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, went inside Iran, deep into Iran, and pulled out millions of valuable files on the Iranian nuclear program.
Yeah.
Actually, took them out of the country and brought them back to Israel.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of interesting things going on behind the scenes, but this is the closest we have seen to a significant attack on a direct attack on an Iranian nuclear facility. And as I said, it's a nuclear facility which was being used to increase the enrichment of uranium. Mm-hmm. And as anyone who knows what uranium and nuclear power is all about knows that when you are increasing the levels of uranium enrichment, you are aiming to develop a nuclear bomb. It's not used for any other purpose once it gets to high levels.
Yesterday, our U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin landed in Israel to have talks with both Prime Minister Netanyahu, also with Israel Defense Minister Benny Gantz. And, David, this really brings up the whole larger picture of what appears to be a revitalization of the Iran nuclear deal now with the Biden administration. Give us the perspective of within Israel as it relates to the U.S. now trying to start up these talks again to revitalize this deal that President Trump had removed us from.
Well, this is the Obama-Biden administration part two. We're seeing a replay of this approach that deals with radicals as if they're just peaceful people, and you know, when you're talking about radicals, and you know, as you mentioned, you know, my new book that just came out called "Confronting Radicals: What America Can Learn from Israel," the radicals respond in ways that are very different, and whereas Trump was very on target, he said, no, we are not going to deal with radicals in a way that makes no sense. We're going to use basic common sense. And you know, he may not be the greatest academic. You know, he may not be a PhD in history, and he certainly isn't an avid reader, but he does have some very sharp common sense that I believe came from his background as a businessman in New York City, and he understands the basic that when somebody is trying to kill you, you don't appease them. And so when you're dealing with the Iranians who are trying to develop a nuclear bomb, or you're dealing with the Palestinians who are supporting terrorism all over the world, then you don't appease them. Appeasement does not work. And it didn't work in Israel when we tried to appease the Palestinians, and it's not going to work in America in appeasing the secular left radicals either. Mm-hmm. And these are things that Biden and his administration don't seem to understand. They seem to think that you can reach out, extend your hand, and it's not going to be bit off. What we've learned in the Middle East is that it is going to be bitten off if you're extending it to the wrong person.
David Rubin, our guest here today. Again, his brand new book is entitled Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. And I believe, David, they'll find that book at davidrubinisrael.com?
They can go to davidrubinisrael.com to read a little bit more about it, and they could also find my other books there. Or they could just go to Amazon. The official release date is April 15th, but there is a box on the Amazon page where you can pre-order the book.
Okay.
So you just go to Amazon, type in Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel.
Well, it appears former Secretary of State John Kerry was more than just appearance. He was actively engaging with Iran, even during the Trump administration, secretly working through things, saying, hey, wait until we change the administrations here. We're going to keep things rolling. What impact has this had through this process?
Yes, speaking of radicals, right?
Yeah.
John Kerry, of all people. John Kerry, you know, who, you know, was palling around with Jane Fonda during the Vietnam War. Look, the whole approach of pandering to radicals, of appeasing them, is the wrong approach. And it applies to Muslim radicals as much as it applies to the secular left in America. And coincidentally, the radical left and the radical Muslims have a lot of collusion between them, and they're working together. And why are they working together? Because they both want to bring down Judeo-Christian civilization for different reasons. But nonetheless, they are both trying to bring down Judeo-Christian civilization, and so it's important to see what's going on, what they're doing, and this is nothing new, and it's no accident that I pointed out that John Kerry was chanting his radical politics in Vietnam with Jane Fonda back in the 60s because the All of this, everything that's going on, the attempts to fundamentally change America, those attempts have been going on for several decades. And it's not an accident that the heads of some of the biggest corporations are supporting that process of the secularization of America, of the anti-familyization of America, of the anti-traditional education of America and the anti-work ethic in America. That is what they've been doing since the end of the 1960s, and they've been succeeding.
Folks, we've got to take a break here. David Rubin is talking to us today. He is live in Israel as we speak, taking a political look with inside. We're going to talk about the election for prime minister, also the funding of the Palestinians. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution. Because evolution assumes that life evolved in a salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, they would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking to David Rubin in Israel today. And often, as I've mentioned, we've talked about things from a prophetical perspective. Today, more of a political look as to what's going on within the nation right now. And has just put out a brand new book, just being released this week, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. Available through his website, davidrubinisrael.com. He mentioned it's also available on Amazon as well, but you're going to find in there a number of chapters like the Israel-U.S. connection, values of the American Republic, domestic terrorism is not social justice. Boy, folks, we need to wake up to that one. Escalating demands amid low-level warfare. Appeasement does not work. David talked about that issue as well, addressing so many current relevant issues. David, let's talk about the election for prime minister. Four elections within, 2 years now. It appears that there's another stalemate taking place and talks of even yet a fifth election. Bring us up to speed on what's taking place.
Yes, well, as you know, Israel is a very complex parliamentary democracy, and the it's a rather unwieldy parliamentary democracy, I might say. Okay, there are 13 political parties that got into the Israeli Knesset. The Knesset is the name of the parliament. And 13 political parties were elected to the Knesset. There are, okay, now we'll do some basic math. There are 120 seats. And of those 621, of those 120 seats, there are 61 that is needed to form a coalition, a majority coalition in the Knesset where you can get anything done. So Netanyahu, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was appointed to be the one, since his party got by far the most votes, to put together a governing coalition. So now he's negotiating with all the smaller parties to try to get up to the number of 61 individuals in the Knesset who will support his government. So that's where it stands right now. What we believe at this point, what almost everyone in Israel sees, is that his chances are pretty good that he's going to be able to negotiate 59 seats of Knesset members. And he needs 61, though. And the problem is that even though Netanyahu is slightly right of center, and even though there are about 75 Knesset members who are either slightly right of center or quite conservative in their views, despite that, he only has 59 commitments at this point. People who, you know, say that they'll be a part of his right-wing coalition. Now, there are two political parties that have 12 seats between them, and those two political parties really are the ones who could make or break this government. But the leaders of those parties have personal issues with Netanyahu that go back some way. Unfortunately, his people skills when it comes to local politics could be better, and he's alienated quite a number of people. And among them, these politicians who are right of center and who are refusing to be a part of his coalition for the personal reasons, not for the political reasons. So that's his difficulty right now. And he's trying to get at least two of them to change their minds, to let bygones be bygones, and to join his coalition.
Mm-hmm. What is the time frame that has to be accomplished before it's, you know, just declared that we have to go to another election?
He has 28 days, and if after the 28 days he's not yet able to do it, but he feels like he's very close, there is the possibility of getting a 14-day extension.
Okay, so that is very much up in the air at this point then. But if they would indeed go to a fifth election, I mean, there's nothing to, one would reason, would change the results in that, would they?
Well, possibly yes, possibly no. Most likely, if Netanyahu were to run again in a fifth election, it could very well end up in another deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the problem is that we know that he has his corruption trial, but I don't think that has affected things too much. We as a country believe that you're innocent until proven guilty, and until he's proven guilty, he's allowed to continue to serve. But the main issue is that he has never groomed successors, potential successors in his party among the younger politicians. And because of that, a lot of these younger politicians, not only has he not groomed them as potential successors, but he's demoted them because he's seen them as a threat. And because of that, so we have many politicians who leave the Likud, that's Netanyahu's party, because he alienates them, and they start their own parties. And now, paradoxically, he is in the process of having to woo them to join his coalition.
Now, is Israel, do you also have a presidential election coming up soon?
Well, there's a presidential election. In Israel, a president is not like in the States. The president of Israel is more akin to someone like Queen Elizabeth, without having the problematic son or the problematic grandson. but it's similar to Queen Elizabeth because it's a ceremonial post.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the president of Israel has an important role to play. Not just in diplomacy, which I'm not saying that diplomacy is greeting world leaders is not important, but he also has an important role to play in that he appoints who is going to form the coalition. So, for instance, the president of Israel, President Rivlin, appointed Prime Minister Netanyahu and gave him the task of forming a governing coalition within those 30 and possibly 42 days.
Mm-hmm. I saw that the former Likud member of the Knesset, Yehuda Glick, believes he should be Israel's next president. Does he have any kind of following? And I just found it interesting being
no.
a... None?
No.
Okay.
Very, very little. He was a member of the Likud party for a number of years. He got into the Knesset for one term. As a backbencher, as they say, but he doesn't have enough following or national stature that he could be elected president. He speaks English well, so people in America know him.
Okay,
but there has been an idea floated that Netanyahu possibly. If he can't form a governing coalition, that he would run for president in the upcoming presidential election in Israel.
My.
And his chances of getting elected to that are much, much better. Then it probably would be a lot easier than trying to form a coalition.
As we talk about what's going on, we see the workings of the Biden administration to come into to re-energize this Iran nuclear deal that President Trump was able to get us out of and to hold Iran more accountable, putting sanctions in. But we've got another move going on by President Biden as well to unconditionally transferring some $75 million to the Palestinian Authority. I'd like you to comment on this, David, as to what's going on with the PA from the Biden administration and why, what is prompting him to be so quick to reverse the policies from the Trump administration?
Well, there are two reasons. One is clearly political. He came in to be the anti-Trump. And so a lot of his executive actions We're talking about just undoing something so that it's not Trump. But then there are other more problematic reasons, such as really believing that you can get somewhere by appeasement.
Mm-hmm. We're back to that word again.
I mentioned this a few moments ago, but yep. It's a very important issue. Appeasement does not work. It didn't work during World War II with Neville Chamberlain and Adolf Hitler. It didn't work in Israel. You know, my book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, is not just about learning from Israel's successes. It's also about learning from Israel's mistakes. And we had a couple of decades when we were appeasing radicals. We were appeasing the radical Palestinians. We were appeasing terrorists, essentially. We were appeasing them and letting them have hopes that they were going to get an independent state at some point in the heartland of Israel. Well, that clearly is not going to happen now because we've learned from our mistakes. And a country that learns from its mistakes has the possibility of growing and becoming that much greater. That's what happened in the United States when the United States had slavery. And it learned from its mistakes. It did away with it. And then there was the Civil Rights Movement. And America grew and became greater economically as the years went on. The problem in America now is that other than the economics, the United States is going back on its values, on its Judeo-Christian values that truly made America great, on the value of the traditional family, on the value of its connection with God and its biblical roots. That's what made America really great, mm-hmm. and that's what led to the freedoms that people have in the United States, or have always had, and some are trying to do away with now: the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to bear arms. That, you know, we could go on and on. There's so many freedoms in America that make America great. But those freedoms are under attack today by a radical left that doesn't believe in them and wants to censor and shut down anyone who does not agree with a left-wing agenda.
And folks, we're seeing that front and center, as David points it out, right here across our nation. And we are going to take another break. We're going to come back just a little bit further about these dollars going into this appeasement that's going on with the Palestinian Authority and a couple other matters here. And then we'll be opening up some phone lines. We're talking about Israel today, politically, militarily, its impact, the very things that are happening before us. David is the author, brand new release book, Confronting Radicals, What American Can Learn from Israel. So more on that after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Common Core is a new label for state-controlled public education standards in an ongoing attempt to dumb down the American educational system, a struggle that has raged for decades. To help parents and grandparents become knowledgeable on this issue comes the DVD, Escaping Common Core. In this presentation, you'll see how Common Core relates to previous initiatives, such as Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, and Race to the Top. You'll learn about the influence of men like John Dewey and Horace Mann and their impact on education today. You'll see how Common Core brainwashes children and has a deliberate push toward globalism. And you'll learn how to set your children free from the clutches of Common Core. This DVD is over 60 minutes long and is a must-see presentation. Escaping Common Core is available for a donation of $18 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. David Rubin is with us today. He is in Israel. We're taking a look at Israel, a political look here today, and we're talking about just so many issues that are just current event matters that are taking place in the nation. He just has authored the book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, that you'll find at davidrubinisrael.com. By the way, Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N, davidrubinisrael.com, or at Amazon. David, as we're taking a look here, the with these dollars going into the Palestinian Authority, the Biden State Department is claiming as historical fact that Israel occupied the Palestinian territories in 1967. That presents a problem, doesn't it?
Well, it presents a false reading of history that, unfortunately, Biden is going back to. Look, I remember Joe Biden very well. I remember how he lashed out at Prime Minister Menachem Begin going back about 40 years and lashed out at him in Congress and threatened to withhold any kind of support of Israel if he didn't do exactly what Joe Biden wanted him to do, Senator Biden at that time. But I also remember Vice President Biden, and I remember his attitude towards Israel. And look, the fact is that that Israel is a sovereign nation, a proud nation, and you know we know that that the approach that Biden is taking is dangerous, and it actually he's just released about $300 million to the Palestinians, even though they're still supporting terrorism. They are still giving monthly salaries to terrorists every single month.
Pay to slay.
That's right. And, I was wounded by a Palestinian terrorist, along with my three-year-old son, who was shot in the head. And those terrorists have been getting paid. They're in jail, actually, but they're getting paid through their families every single month by the Palestinian Authority. Well, Trump had cut off aid to the Palestinian Authority because of that policy, but now Biden is resuming it, and he's going to start giving them those millions again. It's a big mistake. It's a fatal mistake,
Yeah. And
it should not be done.
Well, we understand that they also, the Palestinian Authority, is having elections next month, May 22nd, and I saw a press briefing April 1st. The spokesperson for our U.S. State Department, Ned Price, talked about this upcoming election and the Palestinian election and also promoting the two-state solution at that time. So just a quick word from you as well regarding the elections coming up next month for the Palestinians as well.
Well, the winner, obviously, first they're gonna vote for the for their so-called parliament, and most likely Hamas will win unless they rig the vote, and then Abbas will get nervous. Abbas, the prime minister, I think, or president, or whatever he calls himself, and president for life, I guess. He has been made himself president for about 20 years. And so he's going to be running, and of course he'll either win or they'll rig the election. So that's basically how it works in the Palestinian Authority.
Now, do you anticipate that there will ever be a renouncing of violence or a renouncing of terrorism?
Are you serious, Jim? Violence is the raison d'être of the Palestinians.
David Rubin with us here today, and folks, let me just ask you this too, David. This past Thursday, Israel just came to a standstill for 2 minutes to remember the 6 million Jews perishing at the hands of the Nazis. Describe for us, if you would, that very somber moment in Israel.
Well, we have a holiday, which is called Holocaust Day, and that is a day when we remember the Jews, the 6 million Jews who were slaughtered by Nazis, and the whole country comes to a standstill. There is a siren that is sounded at 10 o'clock in the morning, and everyone stops whatever they're doing. Cars stop everywhere in the middle of the street, and people, the drivers and passengers, get out of the car and stand at attention for a moment of true silence and contemplation. Mm-hmm. And we do that again. We will be doing that again on this Wednesday when we remember the fallen soldiers and the terror victims who have been murdered by Palestinian terrorists. Hmm.
Israel also ready to celebrate, though, another year of independence.
Well, we do that the day after Memorial Day. And it's actually a recognition that very often out of pain comes happiness, and out of suffering comes rejoicing. So, you know, that's part of what we do in this world. We're supposed to take the darkness and turn it into light, and take the bitterness and turn it into sweetness.
Yeah. David Rubin with us. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We're discussing Israel today, politically speaking, militarily speaking, 800-733-9829. David, in your book that is just being released this week, Confronting Radicals, What American Can Learn from Israel, you've got a chapter in this book, Chapter 3, that catches my eye. Domestic terrorism is not social justice. We've got a lot of those crying out for social justice today, and we see what's taken place in the name of social justice. But comment on that chapter, if you would, as to what point it is you're getting across that America needs to learn from Israel in this regard.
Oh, certainly. Look, first of all, we have to understand that radicals take an issue. They'll take an isolated issue that they think will have the possibility of mobilizing large numbers of people to their cause, and then they use that for the much bigger cause. Okay, they're well funded. They get funding from less so overtly violent left-wing organizations and individuals to provide funding and logistics to accomplish their political goals through the violence. The political goal is to create a Marxist, secularist nation. And that is the long-term goal. If they feel they can get there by creating anarchy in the streets, by having mass riots and looting and destroying government buildings and tearing down monuments to American heroes, they're going to do that. But their ultimate goal is to bring down the United States as Judeo-Christian civilization.
My. And friends, we're seeing the destruction all around us, are we not? And you have to look at those ultimate goals, or to bring down that which we know, the constitutional principles, the Judeo-Christian ethic that has built this nation. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to a caller from Southern Wisconsin. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering where the money is coming from that the Biden administration is giving to the Palestinians, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay. Have you checked your wallet? David, your response.
I think you just answered it, Jim.
Yeah.
I was going to say, from your taxes.
Yeah.
From our taxes, actually. I was born and raised in the United States. I'm still a dual citizen, and I pay taxes in both countries.
So, friends, it is your tax dollars, your money, that is being used to funnel these monies to the Palestinian Authority. And, again, it is such that to pay somehow promote and reward those who have committed acts of terror. And that's why it's called Pay to Slay. Let's go to Don in Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for your guest. I'm an avid reader of the King James Bible, I was wondering if you knew the reason why it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It doesn't say pray for the peace of Israel in Psalm 122:6. Mm-hmm. Do you have any light on that, brother? I know we're going to be in the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. David, I don't know if you have a comment on that.
Certainly. Look, Jerusalem is synonymous with Israel.
Yeah.
And I should tell you that, you know, the whole talk about the moving of the American embassy to Jerusalem, it was a serious issue, yes, and all credits should go to President Trump for following through on it and having the courage to follow through, and we saw that the results from it were that peace broke out in the Middle East between Israel and its neighbors, as opposed to what he was warned by Biden and others of what was going to happen, that there were going to be mass riots and terrorism. But Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel for well over 3,000 years. And as the caller alluded to, Jerusalem is the vision of where the Holy Temple will be rebuilt and God's kingdom on earth will be rebuilt.
Thank you for the call here, Don. As we talk about this this matter here today, folks, it is just astonishing to see what is taking place. And David, as we talked about the Abraham Accords here in the last months of the Trump administration, are these Abraham Accords and the peace that's happening between Israel and other nations and establishing relations once again, is that at risk as a result of the incoming Biden administration?
Well, some of it is at risk. I don't believe that that the peace agreements with those four Arab nations are going to be undone. I don't think Biden would be so foolish as to make that happen. But peace will not break out with any other countries, because now that they don't have President Trump giving them the backing anymore, so I don't see it happening. There are other more problematic areas. When you appease Palestinian terrorists, you're encouraging more terrorism, and I believe that there will be an uptick in terrorism coming very soon. I also think that you do not appease a radical regime in Iran, because that will also lead to more terrorism, because they're the main funder of terrorism around the world.
David Rubin with us. We're just seconds from our next break, so rather than interrupt our next caller, we're going to just pick up our calls right after the next break. Again, his new book just released, being released, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, which you can find through his website, davidrubinisrael.com. Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N. Also available through Amazon. And you can also learn about the special fund that's been set up to assist those who have been victimized by terror, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. Our lines are packed, so we'll come back to more of your phone calls here for the final segment. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform launching April 19th that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No, because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine is ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going to pick right back up with our callers. You're speaking with David Rubin in Israel as we speak, and we're going to continue with Billy in Burbank, California. Billy, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to talk with you. I'm retired. I'm 65, and sometimes we want to still be involved in God's ministry and in a big way so we get connected to someone who's big.
Well, Billy, let's go. We're short on time. Let's go right to your question.
Okay,
for
we asked a simple question, mm-hmm. and that is, a two-pronged question. That is, do you think if Germany ever repented for the sins that they've done, that would help the Israel on this special week that they have in prayer and things? And then secondly, do you think the devil could repent?
Hmm. And as we relate to Germany itself, no, the devil's not going to repent. The devil's going to do what the devil's going to do. That's scripture refers to that. But what are the relations with Germany and Israel right now, David?
There is a relationship. It's a fairly positive relationship, and the Nazis themselves, most of them are not alive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the children and the grandchildren have repented in their own ways.
And, yeah.
Even though they're not the ones who actually did the damage.
Let's go to Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air. Charlie. Hello, Charlie. Okay, we're going to Bruce in Milton, Florida. Bruce, you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Hey, David. It's my pleasure to talk to you, sir. I just want a quick question on the Abrahamic covenant. And Paul was a Jew, wanting to preach to uncircumcised to convert the Gentiles to Christ. My question is, how come Israel at this time doesn't recognize the Jewish Messiah, since we see the actual eschatological fulfillment of all the 5G towers and the vaccines and all that? Can you comment on that, sir?
Not in a short and to the point answer. It would require a little bit more time. But let's just say that when it comes to theological issues, every Jew speaks for himself, and I certainly have my opinions, and there are other Jews that have their own opinions.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Gary in Cincinnati, Ohio. Gary, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Real quick. A lot of talk's been over the years of the two-state answer to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, but I understand from most people that are Israeli that they want reunification, just like the East and West Germany was. They want reunification back to their whole Israeli country. Is that the aspect of a native?
Yes, it's definitely the growing trend in Israel. As I said, most of Israel is right of center, and the direction that Israel is going in the direction of sovereignty over the entire land of Israel, or at least the entire land of Israel that's in our possession today.
It would be like us in Ohio wanting to annex Kentucky or somebody, where we didn't have that authority at all. But Israel does have the authority over all the years it's been there.
Historically, absolutely. Yeah. We certainly have the historical claim.
Great.
And a very legitimate one at that.
Thank you, Gary. Terry in Danville, Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. Yeah, I was out of pocket for a minute. Quick question. I want to ask Mr. Rubin the influence that the Obama administration tried to influence previous Israeli elections with hundreds of thousands of dollars. I wonder if there's any way to figure out or anticipate them trying to do this again now.
We just had an election, and I didn't hear of any accusations of American involvement or Biden's involvement or the Democrat Party involvement in the most recent elections. But yes, what you said about the Obama administration is absolutely correct. It did happen, and it could happen again.
Thank you for the call. Let's try one more time with Charlie in Lodi. You're on the air, Charlie. Charlie, you're on the air. Okay. We try it again for Charlie. Sorry, Charlie. David Rubin with us here today from Israel. And David, what is it? What's on your heart that you'd like to leave with our listeners today as we consider where Israel is at today and even with the change in administration coming here from the United States and its treatment toward Israel?
Well, I think this is a very fateful time, a very fateful time for the United States, for Israel. I think that, I have to point out that Israel is a country that is moving in an opposite direction of the direction the United States is moving in. We're two countries that are bonded, I believe, by a commonality of values. If you look at the roots of the United States and where it came from the Judeo-Christian heritage that the founders of the United States carried on their shoulders and did so proudly. But unfortunately, the United States has been moving away from that heritage. And at the same time, Israel is moving towards that heritage more and more. Israel is becoming more traditional. Israel is becoming more family-minded in terms of the traditional family. Israel is becoming prouder of who it is. Israel is honoring its Israeli heroes and its biblical heroes. You will not see anyone tearing down statues of Israeli heroes in Israel. King David, we know King David made mistakes, just as George Washington and Abraham Lincoln made mistakes, but you will not see anyone trying to tear down those monuments of the Israeli heroes in Israel, whereas you do see that happening in America. So in my book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, the goal is to help Americans to see what they could learn from Israel's successes as well as from Israel's mistakes.
David, thank you so much for being with us here today on the broadcast.
You're welcome.
David Rubin giving us a political look inside Israel here today. And you'll find his book, check out his website. His other books are there too, davidrubinisrael.com. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.